What's up, sunshine? I'm Coy Wire, and I hope you all are safe and well. It is a really tough day, especially for all of our viewers in Southern California. The wildfires there are some of the worst we've seen, so please know that we are thinking of you and hope that all will be okay. It is Thursday, January 9th. Let's get to your news. We do start with the wildfires, three devastating fires springing up overnight, raging across the nation's most populous county. Scenes there are just terrible. Homes and businesses have been burned at rapid rates. The largest fire in Pacific Palisades forced tens of thousands of people to flee under evacuation orders. Tens of thousands more have fled due to two other fires raging in the county, the Hearst Fire north of San Fernando and the Eaton Fire in Altadena. The fires sprang up so quickly, flames jumped over highways. Many people had to abandon cars on the roads near Malibu and Santa Monica. Fire officials had to use a bulldozer to move those vehicles to get to the fires. At a Pasadena care home, workers raced to evacuate elderly residents with a blaze just one block away. The fires have burned thousands of acres, and firefighters still aren't able to contain them. Crews are on the ground and in the air, working to put out the flames. But dry conditions and super strong winds are supercharging the fires. Wind gusts are hitting hurricane force at times, with reports of telephone poles being knocked over. Without containment, the Palisades fire has blazed at the rate of about 5 football fields per minute. Both the smoke and fire from the blaze are so intense, they can be seen from satellite images from space. More than 200,000 homes and buildings are without power in the county, and 19 of LA County's 80 school districts have announced closures or remote learning. The out-of-control flames sprang up on residents so fast, and our team on the ground there, wrapping up reporting, learned just how quickly the fires had spread. Our Natasha Chen captured her team's scary escape to safety.
There were flames on both sides of the highway. There were embers flying over the lanes of the highway. So as we're driving behind this emergency vehicle, I'm hearing an explosion on my right. There are houses on fire right up against the road on the left. And so at this point, I'm just holding my breath, and I can feel the heat from inside the car, just watching the embers fly across the windshield. We get put on a lot of kind of risky assignments, and in this situation, we had to make a calculated risk for the best way to leave. And thankfully, we got out of there, and we got a real look at just the level of destruction and really the fear that a lot of those residents might be feeling if they're looking at those images on the news, if they've evacuated. I can't imagine. They're wondering if their house is the next one on fire, if they have anything to go home to.
10-second trivia. What European territory is the largest island in the world that is not a continent? Sardinia, Greenland, Iceland, or Reunion? Your answer is Greenland, an autonomous territory of Denmark that's more than 3 times the size of Texas. The largest island that is a continent is Australia. If you've been hearing a lot about Greenland lately, you are not the only one. Last month, President-elect Donald Trump called for the U.S. to buy the Arctic island. He brought that up in his first term as president as well. Now his son, Donald Trump Jr., visited Greenland this week, raising questions about what exactly his father's plans might be for the island. CNN's Fred Plotkin explains why President-elect Trump is interested in buying the autonomous territory, whose capital city, Nuuk, is closer to New York than it is to Denmark's capital, Copenhagen, and what strategic importance it might bring the U.S.
Donald Trump wants Greenland. The president-elect has called acquiring the autonomous Arctic territory, which is, of course, part of the Kingdom of Denmark, a strategic necessity for the United States. Now he sent his son, Don Jr., to Greenland, even though its leaders say that that is just a private visit. In a social media post, Donald Trump has said, "I am hearing the people of Greenland are MAGA." He has also vowed to both cherish and protect Greenland in what he calls a very vicious world. Now, all this could make strategic sense for the United States. Greenland is situated in a very important place right between North America and Europe. The U.S. also has some pretty important military assets there as well, like the Thule Air Base and a missile defense radar. But there is something else. The Chinese have been increasing their footprint in Greenland, a lot of that through possible mineral deals. However, the big problem that Donald Trump faces is that neither Greenland nor Denmark want Greenland to become part of the United States. Donald Trump has floated the United States buying Greenland in his first term in office, but even back then, both Greenland and Denmark have said that the island is not and will not be for sale. In fact, the Kingdom of Denmark has now increased the presence of Greenland on the coat of arms of the country, clearly indicating that the Danes want to hold on to their Arctic territory.
Now to major changes happening at Meta, removing fact checkers from its platforms, Facebook and Instagram, and replacing them with user-contributed community notes, similar to those implemented on X. The content review changes are a major reversal in how Meta handles keeping false and misleading claims off its platforms and will significantly change the way that posts, videos, and other content are moderated online. CNN's Claire Duffy breaks down the changes for us and explains what factors went into these changes.
So Meta is rolling back some of its content moderation practices. In particular, it is getting rid of its third-party fact checkers, which the company started its partnerships with in the wake of concerns that foreign actors were manipulating the platform, using them to spread disinformation and sow discord among American voters around elections. But now the company is getting rid of those fact checkers, and it will instead rely on user-generated context labels that will be added to posts. They're called community notes. This is something that Elon Musk has done on X since he took over 2 years ago. And Joel Kaplan, who is one of Meta's top Republican executives, he recently took over as its top policy executive. He announced these changes on Fox News this morning. Let's listen to how he described the system.
And so somebody can write a note, and then the way it works is different people on the platform can sort of vote on that note. And if you get people who usually disagree, who all say, yeah, that sounds right, then that note gets put on the post and people see it. X has been doing it for a while. We think it's working really well, and we're going to adopt that system.
Now, Meta says that this is an effort to address mistakes that its content moderation systems have made, that they have been too restrictive. And Meta said it has censored some voices. And, you know, this is, Mark Zuckerberg says this is an effort to increase free expression, but I think it also looks pretty clearly like an effort to appeal to the Republican voices, including Trump, who have accused the company of censoring conservative voices.
Today's store getting a 10 out of 10, a one-month-old who's hippo-ness brings happiness because she just might be the cutest thing we see all day. A baby hippo needed a name, so her home zoo took a poll, and more than 116,000 votes came in from 165 countries from around the world. Here's what voters chose.
The Metro Richmond Zoo in Virginia announced the name of a baby pygmy hippo girl that was born in December. The name was decided by a poll, with more than 116,000 fans worldwide casting a vote. And the winning name is Poppy. The flowery name received 52.8% of the vote, and is a nod to her mum's name, Iris.
That little calf can hypnotize with those eyes. That's a cutie patootie right there. Shout out to our neighbors to the north today. Alberta, Canada, the Trojans of Westwood Community High School in Fort McMurray, rise up. And St. Benedict's Episcopal School in Smyrna, Georgia. Mr. Flemister and all the Stingers, you rock. I see you, Austin. I'm Coy Wire. Happy Friday Eve, everyone. See you right back here tomorrow for the best day of the week. Fry-yay.